With the airplane, we are now traveling. We have had major meetings in your high schools, and we look at the facilities you have built for your children. Even swimming pools. We wonder how much pride you have in yourselves when, on the one hand, you take $900 million from our land, and on the other hand, we must demonstrate our love for our children by sending them away from home. And if we personally don't have the money, they must stay there over the vacations. We are bilingual people. We speak Eskimo at home and English at school. We are distressed that our first graders do not have bilingual teachers. We are distressed, really distressed about this, because when they come from their homes as beginners, their language is predominantly spoken in the Eskimo language, and it's very difficult to have the English teacher teach you in English when there is a language barrier there. The textbooks often are oriented to middle-class America. We think this slows the educational process. We are entirely willing to learn English, but for our self-identity, we want to retain our Eskimo heritage. Society does not solve problems by destroying one culture for another. We think we can go forward on a bilingual basis. That is why we want a borough for our regional high school and other educational needs. We will build it ourselves because we cannot rely on Juneau. But I get back to my theme. Has the press of Alaska been aghast at our legislature for its failure to help the Eskimo children in getting meaningful high school education? We know that there are some who are against a settlement that approaches fair value of the lands to be taken from us, because after all, we will waste it. The idea is that we are incompetent. Have you, the press, thought about it this way? Society has made sure that the natives are poorly educated. Society should not pay the natives fair value, because they are incompetent. Where is the intellectual leadership that the press so fondly believes that its role in society is? Then there is community development. We suppose that the state and federal governments are proud of the 25 homes being built at Wainwright. Yes, they are better than we have had there. But really, a family of 6 or 7 children, a box 20 by 30 feet is not our idea of a modern home. Where are the water and sewer systems? I want to say that we are just tired of honey buckets. Again, out of the yield of the settlement, we will strive for quality, not the cheap things Juno thinks are good enough for us. Finally, our third objective will be business development. We have recently organized the Inupiat community of the Arctic Slope, a federally chartered corporation, as our business arm. It includes the whole North Slope and all of the people. Congress many years ago authorized these business corporations as an assistance to Indian tribes in the transition from the native to Western culture. In a white man's society, we need white men's tools. The creation of this corporation had to be approved by our people. It was ratified on August 26th by a vote of 541-18. See, we are a united people. These corporations have a congressional mandate to protect our minerals, including our gravel. See, Stevens Village is such a corporation. As I said, we have no assurance that out of the yield of the settlement will we get valuable acres. We have therefore had to develop a team of talent to assist and advise us. Not having any money to pay them, we have signed contracts with these fine people to pay them $1 plus the moral obligation to pay them reasonably if and when we can. This has been hurtful to us because it is almost like charity. This talent we have contracted with includes community development people from University of Washington, certified public accountants, general economists, public relations and firms, and social engineers. Because we have no geologists or geographers, we have commissioned one of our friends to develop teams in those fields. We have had as many as 4 lawyers working simultaneously. We are aware that when the settlement be approved, excuse me, I have just a few pages. Excuse me. We are aware that if and when the settlement be approved, we will have about 18 months to make decisions which will influence generation upon generations of our people. Under the House version, we will get no money for at least 1 year. We don't understand why we are expected to make wise decisions without the best qualified and best paid talent in the world. And if we make foolish ones, society, having handcuffed us, will blame us. Has the press worried about this? It is no wonder that we got angrily amused as we watched from the top of the world when the state and the business community spent $150,000 on a trip to Washington, D.C., when 150 of you tried to rush the pipeline permit. How much better for your own self-interest it would have been to help us, that the greatest economic correction. How much better for your own self-interest would have been to help us. Someday you will learn, perhaps too late to be of help, that the greatest economic impact on Alaska will be a generous native land claim settlement. The more we get, the more you will profit. I have wondered about the so-called white backlash. Our judgment is that we, the natives, have thousands of friends in Alaska wishing us well in our fight for self-identity. I can give you a few examples. Men like Robert Porter of Alaska Methodist University, for his great work at the Presbyterian General Assembly of 1971. Men like Dr. Fred McGinnis in his lobbying through the National Council of Churches Convention of 1969, a most loyal resolution. Men like Vic Fisher of the University of Alaska for his getting the Alaska Federation of Natives, the Ford Foundation grant. Men like Bishop Gordon of the Episcopalian faith for his help in the $10,000 grant. No particular mention should be made of the former staff of the Federal Field Committee, Joe Fitzgerald, David Hickok, Bob Arnold, Arlen Tussing, Esther Wenneke, and many, many others. The Anchorage Daily News, under Larry Fanning, and now his widow, must be honored. We respect each of you, and we thank you. While I have tendered the rest of the olive branch to you, I must tell you about us. We are whalers. There are no more skillful, dangerous, patient, and hardy occupation in the world than killing whales from a skin boat for our food. Translating this to our present problem, yes, we have tendered you an olive branch, but we culturally rely on ourselves. We wish you would help us, but in our fight for survival against the pressurized gushers and bulldozers of Western society, we intend to do what we as responsible citizens believe is in the best interest of our people and therefore is the best for the rest of Alaska, consistent with our national honor. I suppose that what all this boils down to is that the Arctic Slope Native Association is presently a landlord, that the oil seems so important that the United States and many of you are more worried about the oil than about the degeneration of our culture. We are not bitter about this. We recognize it. But we are also determined that if we are about to lose our culture, by George, we're going to have enough white men's tools so that you will not destroy us, so that we will have enough white men's tools to evolve a decent substitute culture in our homeland. Our answer simply is that in the aftermath, we want to be landlords in the new sense, and what's more, we're going to be, hopefully with your help, but in any event, we're going to be the ultimate source of all wealth is land. Thank you, and I now submit myself to questions.
Has a lawyer, and our executive director are both in Washington, D.C., in contact with the staff that are presently on the markup session. Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir. Continuing along the same line, then, do you expect to push heavily the Senate bill? Or are you dissatisfied with both bills? It's a little unclear as to which one you're in favor of at this time.
Our association feels that right now the bill is in the committee, and we probably will be working for some amendments on the floor of the Senate, or before it gets to the floor of the Senate.
So, what's your feeling about the conservationist attempt to attach a pipeline regulation bill to the claims bill?
At this point, I haven't had that much information on the conservation movement or the purpose behind their doing this.
Do you feel that you've gotten any support for land claims from the conservationists?
As far as the support from the conservationists, as I see it, they have done so in an area where there was some delay so that the Alaska Natives can really have time to work up some good policy planning in telling the committees and subcommittees what they would like to have in the bill.
Have you decided if there's any minimum settlement figure that will definitely continue the Arctic Slope suit in court?
Mr. Frank, we don't know just yet where the razor's edge is going to be. A lot depends on how the House bill is and how the Senate bill is, and how they act in the conference committee.
What kind of amendment will you be offering in the Senate?
In the Senate bill, see, we support the Alaska Federation of Native position in the four areas, but we have some differences in the distribution of land, monies. However, up to this point, I'm very proud that the Alaska Federation of Natives has come up to where they are today.
Do you get any indication from the local affairs agency that they will approve the application for a North Slope borough?
At this stage of the game, where the borough application stands is that there should be a local boundary commission hearing. And when that date is, we don't know.
You mentioned the local high school. Is the present rural educational program, the state program, inadequate in your estimation?
As far as the rural high school program that the Alaska State has, is that your question?
Yes.
Okay. As far as the Alaska State educational system is concerned, we would like to have a lot more of the local communities or the ethnic groups have a lot of input into some of the programs that we would have in the type of educational system of their own area. Like, for example, Juno area office, or from the Juno side, how well they can meet the needs of each ethnic group. So, our rate of learning is different.
You stated two or three times that you fear that you wouldn't get good land or have no guarantee. These bills that are coming out of Congress provide the Natives get first choice. Isn't that true? First election?
The House version really restricts us to lands around our villages and only up to about 18 million acres. That's for 60,000 Alaska Natives.
What are the chances that you'll get some PET 4 as part of your settlement?
As far as PET 4 settlement is concerned, I don't know. Our executive director is currently doing some research on PET 4. Hopefully that we will have some leverage in causing some leak. Getting land at four.
You mentioned $15 a gallon as a penalty. Where did you arrive at a figure like that?
We agreed on that figure because we feel that if there is any spillage, there's going to be quite a bit. You know, a 48-inch pipeline, 1 foot long, that's a lot of.
At least I feel I'm not alone here. Well, I'd like to say a little something about our executive director, Charlie Edwardson, Jr. See, some time ago, he and I came to an understanding. He says that he is part Norwegian. And the Danish history will tell us that in the year 1000, Leif Erikson did some settlements in Greenland, and they were having some problems because when Leif Erikson did go back to Greenland, all he found there were wild cattle and wild sheep, and report back the Skraelings did leave nothing but those. And for our Eskimo brothers and sisters here and the Indians, the Skraelings were referred to as the early American Indians and Eskimos. I really am delighted to be here. It looked like I wasn't going to make it. However, we have some resourceful people. I wanted to make sure that I get down here. With this, I will begin with my speech. Mr. Chairman, members of the Alaska Press Club, and guests, as president of the Arctic Slope Native Association, I welcome this first invitation to speak to Alaska public, to her business community, and to her local and state governments. As we have talked internally among ourselves, our board of directors, and our advisors, we long ago formed the conclusion that the Alaska Press newspapers, radio, television, and magazines was sharply critical of the natives and our position in the settlement. Now, this critical attitude is not so bad, because the press is supposed to question, to criticize, to make public institutions responsive to the public need. And so, the question is, you have done a fine job in criticizing us. What kind of a job have you done as against the other competitors for my land? We, the Inupiat Eskimos of the Arctic Slope, have a story to tell the world. For the last time, the United States has a chance to prove to her own citizens and to the rest of the world that her Christian morality is more than words. As an American citizen, I worry about the honor of the United States. For several hundred years now, the westward expansion has driven the Indians in the lower 48 from their homes. I don't need to tell you that story. It has been told and retold many times, perhaps best in their recently published book, Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee. Our real strength nationally is our national conscience. Secondly, nothing is settled unless it is settled right. Worldwide, The great powers have painfully learned that they cannot run over weaker peoples. To put it another way, the United States is willing to pledge its young people so that one nation cannot enslave another, such as Korea, Vietnam. Still another way of saying it. Society has learned from the black problem that when minority groups are miserably treated, society itself is injured. The question before the Congress today is, can the Congress measure up to this high responsibility in settling the land rights of Alaska's Eskimos, Indians, and Aleuts on the basis of fair value? Have you, the press, devoted any real attention to the honor of the United States? Have you reminded the state government that the more the state gobbles up from the natives, the less honor the United States and her people will have? We take courage, however, in Section 4 of the Statehood Act, which states, "The state and its people do agree and declare that they forever disclaim all right and title to any lands or other property, the right or title to which may be held by an Indian, Eskimo, or Aleut." So far in the fight for our land, we have concentrated on Washington, D.C. You see, Alaska is not our arena. It's not our battleground. Nonetheless, we live in Alaska. You are our neighbors. That is why we have been disappointed from time to time at your conduct. The huge frenzy over the pipeline is an example. You see, I feel that most people miss the basic point over whose land are you going to build the pipeline? That is the initial question. Not economic development, not the $1 million per day in state revenue, not conservation. These, of course, are important. But they sidestep the basic problem of land ownership. In looking at the press, we have concluded that the press has whipped up an hysteria over the pipeline. as a direct product of the hysteria, people up here overbought on credit, oversold on credit, overspent on credit, all because of this atmosphere that everyone was going to be an instant millionaire. May I suggest that if the press had really understood the mood of the native people, it would have been more restrained and much hardship avoided. You must understand that Western civilization really didn't touch the North Slope until about 1965, and then it poured in like a gusher that drowns everything. This rampant development inflamed the Eskimo. It was like a bulldozer. Even today, we have no assurance that the Congress will pay us fair value for the extinguishment of our right in our lands. And we are aware of Adam Smith's law. That land is the final source of all capital. In analyzing the Congress, so far as land is concerned, the only event Congress can boast about during the last 100 years is in returning in 1970 the 48,000 acres of Holy Blue Lake to the Taos Pueblos. We therefore have formed a conclusion based upon our reading of history that there are many in Congress who would pay us just as little as they can get away with. For our national honor, as an American citizen, I have wished that you would join us in protecting this honor, and we would still welcome you. There's another reason why I think you should join us. It is in our judgment, to your self-interest, that you support our program. Have you, the Alaska Press, really studied this thought? Let us look at the exploitation of Alaska resources over the years. More than 100 years ago, there were fleets of 150 and more whaling ships up in the Arctic Ocean. They practically destroyed our whales. Who got the profit? Did local industry prosper? Then there was the gold. We had hordes of people descend upon us and despoil our creek beds and our peoples. But who got the profit? The salmon that is no more is our next example. All of our salmon cannery were foreign owned. The fishermen made something, but the great fortunes were made not by Alaskans. And if by chance an Alaskan did make real money, he promptly left, taking his money with him. A whole mountain of copper was taken out of Cordova. What have you looked at Cordova today? A nice little village, but where is the profit from the copper? Timber is now being exploited. But I ask you, by Alaskans? My conclusion is that Boston, New York City, San Francisco, and Chicago have reaped the real wealth from Alaska. The Kennecott Copper Company, the Fairbanks Exploration Company, Alaska Packers, and others have been the landlords, and we Alaskans have been the sharecroppers and tenant farmers. Mr. Chairman, we the Inupiat Eskimos are landlords. We're not going to be sharecroppers after the settlement. Now we have oil. We can learn from the whaling, the placer mines, copper, salmon, and timber. The real backbone of Alaskan industry is native ownership. We don't leave because this is our home. Instead of concentrating on native ownership, the Alaska Press has given the public the idea that the pipeline is the answer for our economy, the panacea of our economy. We also read the publicity put out by Alyeska. There will be a construction crew of 5,000 to 10,000 for 2 or 3 years, and a permanent crew of 300. While speaking of the pipeline, we should mention the issue of environmental protection. No matter how competent Alyeska engineers are, there's always the human factor. Recently, two sailors in Puget Sound forgot to check two valves so that 5,000 barrels were pumped into the sound. That's 210,000 gallons. One of our worries is that a spill will occur and our subsistence living will be injured. Our legal advisors tell us we don't own wild animals, so we can't sue for their destruction, even though our subsistence living will be injured. We have, therefore, proposed that the native regional associations be paid $15 per gallon of spillage, and the associations would then replace the subsistence living with substitutes to its people. As we, the Inupiat Eskimos, look at you, we wonder about the depth of your study. For example, the Washington Post in February 18, 1971, published this foregoing formula from the testimony of our executive director, Charles Edwardson, Jr., at the environmental impact hearing. Did you? We are getting no support from Alaskan sources for this worthy recommendation. We think also there will be an indirect benefit. If the oil companies have to pay in case of an accident, they will be twice as careful. One of our truly basic concerns is that we love the North. We like living there. It is generous to us. The sea, the rivers, and the tundra. Our advisors tell us that an oil field has an average life of 20 years. What then? Huge social problems will have developed. Huge garbage will be there, which we will inherit. Our culture will be changed. These are the problems we will have to deal with. Now tell me how to do it. I have no answers, but I have worries. I hear large figures being pushed around, like 40 million acres. Let me say from the bottom of my heart, we have no assurance that we will get good acres. Let us take a look at the settlement's aftermath if and when the bill is signed by the president. It is the official policy of the Arctic Slope Native Association that our share of the yield will be used first for education, second for community development, and third for business development in that order of priority. Education is number one. Vocational and college training, of course, is needed, but more importantly, regional high schools